Thank you. You may be seated. Good afternoon and welcome. Judge Russell was unexpectedly unable to join us, but her heart is with us. In the tradition of this court, we hold this special session to honor the memory of our beloved colleague with the presentation of his portrait. The Honorable Richard B. Teitelman, Judge Rick, served this court with distinction for 14 years, serving as Chief Justice from July 2011 through June 2013. He was the first judge of Jewish faith to serve on the Supreme Court of Missouri. He was also this court's first legally blind judge. Despite this physical condition, his vision was clear: to ensure every person had true access to justice and that their voices could be heard. Judge Teitelman had more compassion for others, in fact, for everyone, than anyone I've known. If this were a regular session of court, Judge Teitelman would have already made his way through the room, welcoming each one of you personally. So in his absence and on behalf of the court, I welcome you today for this special session in his honor. Judge Draper, would you please give the invocation?
The prayer that we believe that Judge Teitelman would often give, if you'll forgive my pronunciation and bow your heads. Barak atah Adonai Eloheinu Malech Halom Tekianu Behikianu Behikianu Lazam Hazeh. Blessed are you, Lord, our God, King of the universe, who has granted us life, sustained us, and enabled us to reach this occasion. Amen.
Thank you. Today we're going to hear from three individuals who were most special to Judge Teitelman. They were his associates, his family, his friends. Kathy Blanton, Eric Peterson, and Maurice Graham, and we're going to hear from Kathy first. Kathy was Judge Teitelman's judicial executive assistant. She worked with him from his appointment to his passing. And those of you who knew Kathy know that she is one of the few who could read his handwriting. She was the keeper of his restaurant reviews and a conduit for his many notes. But most importantly, Kathy, we know that you were his trusted connection to the world and his friend. Kathy.
May it please the court, judges, guests, good afternoon. My name is Kathy Blanton. I had the honor and pleasure of serving Judge Teitelman as his Judicial Executive Assistant, or JEA. I first served as a JEA to the Honorable John Holstein from 1990 until he retired from the court in March of 2002. And I was very concerned about whether I'd be able to keep my position as a JEA. I was really worried about it back then. So the minute Judge Teitelman was appointed to the court, I submitted my resume to him. Shortly thereafter, I received a telephone call at home one evening. It went something like, "Hello, is this Kathy Blanton? This is Rick Teitelman. Would you like to be my JEA?" And I was shocked, needless to say. I had never even met Judge Teitelman, much less interview with him. And so began the continuation of my career and our friendship that would continue for the next 14 plus years. I was most impressed with Judge Teitelman's wisdom, his tenacity and his work ethic, his keen memory, and his sense of fairness to do the right thing. And these all made it a joy and a pleasure to be part of what he liked to call the Teitelman team. Our chamber's staff also included his outstanding law clerks, Bill Hyde, David Camp, Julia Mariani, and Eric Peterson. Judge Teitelman's knowledge about just about everything besides the law made the days in the office enjoyable for us all. When we weren't working on conference work, memos, or court opinions, we all enjoyed talking about the latest movies, what happened on last night's NCIS, talking about our families, and everything else. Judge Teitelman's passion was not only the law, but also equal access to the law for those who could not afford it. He tirelessly dedicated his career to ensuring equal access to people in St. Louis, the state of Missouri, and throughout the country. And I'm sure the legal aid entities are missing Judge Teitelman too. You all know Judge Rick's generosity, kindness, and friendliness to everyone. He always had a minute to say hello to anyone he saw. I don't care if it was the Chief Justice, another judge, an attorney, or the rest of us. I cannot think of a kinder or more generous human being. He liked to say the quote, "It's nice to be important, but more important to be nice." It's been almost 5 months since Judge Teitelman's passing, and just about everyone here at the court has talked about how much they miss him. I miss Judge Rick, especially his voicemail messages left, usually in the wee hours of the morning, which always began, "Kathy, this is Rick Teitelman." And I will always remember the end of those telephone messages. "This is Rick Teitelman signing off." So I did not miss the numerous clippings and magazine articles that many of you, I'm sure, have received. I do not miss that, but that was just another service of Judge Teitelman for his friends. So with heartfelt gratitude, I thank the Honorable Richard B. Teitelman for being my judge and my friend. Thank you all for being here this afternoon.
Thank you, Kathy. Judge Teitelman valued and appreciated you and would be touched by your words. Like Kathy, Eric Peterson worked with Judge Teitelman as his permanent law clerk for his entire tenure on the court. He relied on Eric as a legal sounding board, right-hand man, close confidant, and friend. Eric.
May it please the court. Your honors, thank you for hosting this ceremony today. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for attending. My name is Eric Peterson, and I had the privilege of serving as Judge Teitelman's law clerk from January of 2001 until his untimely passing on November 29th of 2016. In other words, I've spent nearly a third of my life working for Judge Teitelman, and it was a wonderful experience. Now, as you all know, Judge Teitelman served as the Director of Legal Aid, of Legal Services of Eastern Missouri for many years. He was passionate, above all, about equal justice for all, and he channeled that passion into a distinctive voice, first on the Missouri Court of Appeals, Eastern District, and ultimately, your honors, on this court with you all. I think we all agree his mission was accomplished, and I think the portrait, which will soon be unveiled, will prove a fitting tribute. Now, Judge Teitelman believes strongly in cutting to the crux of the case. He believes strongly that judicial opinions should be concise, that they should be direct and plain-spoken. He believed this because he believed the law should be accessible equally to all, to not only lawyers and judges, but to doctors, to farmers, to corporate executives, to truckers, to school teachers, to the single mother seeking to keep a roof over her children's heads. In short, he believed the law should, to the greatest extent possible, be accessible to all those it governs. Now, while Judge Teitelman's writing was economical, his kindness and generosity were boundless. He could be demanding, but he was always forgiving. He empathized with the less fortunate. He loved his friends and his family, and he respected those with whom he disagreed. He truly was a genuinely decent man. Your presence here today confirms that his was a life well-loved, well-lived among dear friends. Now, I know many of Judge Teitelman's co-workers here at the Supreme Court experienced Judge Teitelman's kindness and generosity. I know he admired the work that you all do. I know this because he told me so many, many times. Whether it was Kathy Blanton and all the judicial executive assistants, whether it was Greg Lubring and the maintenance staff, Robert Stiefelman, Carl Smith, and the security team, Art and Tony and Ray, who drove him hither and yon, Cynthia Turley and the front office staff, Bill Thompson, Betsy Abishon, Beth Rigger, Jeremiah Morgan, the library staff, the law clerks, the attorney enrollment staff, Don Dickey, Tom Fishback, and everyone else who I have not enough time to mention, but whose work made the court's work possible. Judge Teitelman appreciated your work and respected you for doing it. Now, I know he also felt the very same about his colleagues on the bench. Your Honors, he admired and respected each of you and the others with whom he served over the years. He saw you as more than colleagues. He saw you as friends. Even in the immediate afterburn of some disagreement, he respected not only your position, but he fundamentally respected each of you. Now, many of those in attendance today knew Judge Teitelman for far longer than did I. I know you all have some poignant Judge Teitelman story. I also know that if you shared that story with the person sitting next to you, their eyes would most likely light up, and they too would recall that time, one time way back when way too early in the morning, there's a theme here, right? When Judge Teitelman would call with a reassuring word. And that time he sent a nice note, and that time that your children received a birthday present before you had even went shopping. So now I'd like to share just a couple of uniquely Judge Teitelman moments in my life, which I think further illustrate the man that we honor today. On the morning of July 16, 2007, my wife and I welcomed our first son, Benjamin, into this world. Now, typically, or so I'm told, new parents get to spend a fleeting moment or two with their newborn son before grandparents and others drop by for a visit. Now, you can guess what happened next, right? Judge Teitelman was not a typical man, and so the very first person to visit my son, Benjamin, in the hospital was none other than Judge Richard B. Teitelman of the Missouri Supreme Court. And he outraced two first-time brand-new grandmothers. But really, that was just Judge Teitelman. That was just Judge Teitelman being Judge Teitelman, because those random acts of kindness were not at all random for him. That was just the core of who he was. And that's how we all remember him. Now, Judge Teitelman was also an unwavering optimist. For many years, he told me he wanted to go out west. He wanted to see the big sky. He wanted to see the Tetons. He wanted to see the Snake River in Jackson, Wyoming, where Ansel Adams took his famous photograph. And he wanted to check out the Hungry Miner restaurant in Rawlins, Wyoming. Rawlins, Wyoming. Now, Rawlins, Wyoming is not just a little out of the way. It is literally 100 miles from nowhere. And so fortunately, Judge Teitelman's unwavering optimism was infused with an equal part of pragmatism. So he hatched a more pragmatic, but equally optimistic plan. And it went like this. So last summer, the State Conference of Chief Justices held a meeting in Jackson, Wyoming. Judge Teitelman was not, however, the Chief Justice. That honor belonged, as it still does, to Chief Justice Patricia Breckinridge. So instead of trekking all the way to the Hungry Miner, Judge Teitelman saddled up and attended the Chief Justice's Conference in Wyoming at the same time my family and I happened to be out that way. So many of you can picture what happened next. We swung by the conference center at the appointed hour, and there was Judge Teitelman standing dangerously close to the curb with his trademark scarf flailing in the wind. And he flagged us down as if he was surprised to see us. And you've all been there, right? Yeah. And so the first two evenings, we embarked on the first of two evenings driving around the back roads of Jackson Hole. And so my sons delighted in spotting the wildlife for Judge Teitelman, who, after my own father's untimely passing, Judge Teitelman had assumed the role of an honorary grandfather. And so William, my son here in the bow tie, pointed out a solitary antelope. Benjamin tried to show him this distant herd of bison. Now, Judge Teitelman nodded appreciatively, and he thanked the boys profusely. And I don't know if he saw the antelope or the bison, but I do know that his unwavering optimism carried him out west, and he saw the Big Sky, and he saw the Tetons, and he saw the Snake River just like he said he would. And perhaps that story is a little trivial, but to me it illustrates Judge Teitelman that in every facet of his life, he was not just an optimist, he was a doer. And so as a boy, with the encouragement of his mother and father, he refused to be defined by being blind. And instead, he chose to be defined by his keen mind and his big heart. He set his mind to lead legal services, and he did that. He set his mind to become a court of appeals judge, and he did that. And he set his mind, Your Honors, to serve with you in this very courtroom, and he did that as well. But perhaps most importantly, if Judge Teitelman here today, he would say he set his mind and his heart to help others and to be a good friend. And he did that as well. Judge Teitelman, he got things done, not just for himself, but for others as well. And so the portrait, which will soon be unveiled, is, I think you will see, more than just an accurate depiction of Judge Teitelman. It captures his character, that kindness and that generosity. It's all there. Mr. Early, the portrait artist, I think can rightfully be proud of his work. And though Judge Teitelman was modest, I know he liked the portrait as well. But what he loved more than anything was all of you, his family and his friends. And so as I look out at this room today with all of you gathered for today's ceremony, I think that this gathering of family and friends, I think that's probably the truest portrait of Judge Teitelman that I will ever see. And so, Your Honors, thank you once again for the opportunity to speak at today's ceremony.
Thank you, Eric, for honoring Judge Rick with those lovely remarks. He was always proud of you, Kelly, of Ben, and Will. You were his family. Our third speaker is Maurice Graham. Marcy was Judge Teitelman's dearest and most trusted friend, and the person Judge Rick entrusted with his personal, business, and legal matters. Judge Teitelman's passing was a shock to us all, and Marcy, we are indebted to you for the support and guidance you gave us as we all dealt with that loss. Please welcome Maurice Graham.
Chief Justice Breckinridge, members of this esteemed court that Rick was so proud to be a member of, members of the judiciary who were both colleagues and friends of Judge Teitelman, if I use the word Rick, as we have all done, in my presentation, it's not out of disrespect at all. For this great judge, it is out of the most profound of respect and fondness for. With your permission, or without your permission, I'm going to present my remarks in verse. And I call this, we called him Rick. Few persons achieve the distinction of being widely known by only one name. There have been others. Arnie, Ozzy, Sting, Bono, Yachty, and they also achieved fame, but mention the word Rick to a lawyer or judge in Kansas City, St. Louis, Cape, San Joe, Hannibal, West Plains, and even beyond, and the result doesn't change. It's immediately understood that Rick and his honor, Judge Teitelman, were one and the same. But who really was Judge Richard Bertram Teitelman, this person we fondly called Rick? Dedicated jurist, passionate legal services advocate, devoted friend to many, fine dining expert, voracious reader, take your pick. The son of a West Philadelphia lawyer, Nathan Titleman. They called Rick's dad Nate. And Rick's mother, who you'll hear more about in a moment, was named May. He may have gotten off to a slow start with his visual impairment, but he made up for it by overcoming great challenges each and every day. His mom, May, refused to accept a school directive that young Richard would have to attend a special school for the blind, and that college would never be in his plan. But May insisted, got him into regular elementary school, sat with him in class, read his books to him, and instilled in her son a two-word lesson that continued to guide his life to the end. That two-word lesson, I can. His affection for people from all walks of life began in the African-American community of West Philadelphia, where Rick was raised. After graduating from Penn, he was off to Washington U. That was where he spent his law days. In fairness, however, there are other things about Judge Rick that we could say. His ideas about dress were not an area in which much variety was found. He did more for the white shirt, blue suit, and partially tied tie than anyone around. He was a great conversationalist. He knew everything. He was a delight at dinner. But in conversations with Rick, it also helped if you were a good listener. And for a person who didn't drive, he was everywhere, up and down the pike. He never met a gathering that he didn't like. But enough of that. We know that there are other important characteristics that set our good friend, this special person, Judge Rick, apart. And the first that comes to mind was his tremendously big heart and his ability to see the good in people, to see the good in life, and to search out and see lives that needed a caring or helping hand. He simply was, in the eyes of all of us here today, a very special man. And so as we gather this afternoon to hang a portrait to honor Judge Titleman, our good friend, though with us no longer, wonderful memories remained and shall never end. Those middle night phone messages, those handwritten notes that we struggled so hard to read, remembering your birthday, your children's birthdays, birthdays of your family members, important events in your life, a call to lift your spirits if he thought you were in need. We will all miss this special friend who, though he had limited eyesight, was a man with so much vision. He did well in his life's mission. I close with a Hebrew proverb that captures a thought I think we can all take with us as we leave this afternoon. Say not in grief, he is no more. Say in thankfulness, he was. Thank you.
Thank you, Marcy. Your remarks captured the essence of our friend and colleague. I would now like to invite Suzanne Bradley, president of the Missouri Bar Foundation, to present and unveil Judge Titleman's portrait.
Chief Justice Breckinridge, judges, colleagues, and friends of the court and the law, it is my pleasure today and on behalf of the Missouri Bar Foundation to be here to participate in the unveiling of the official portrait of Judge Richard B. Titleman. As everyone knows here, and as we've heard these beautiful stories today, Judge Titleman always considered a stranger to be just a friend not yet met. His congeniality, his concern for others, and his ability to find a kind word for anyone who he encountered are qualities that are so well known, and as we've heard today, and as we've recounted these memories over the last few months since his passing. There is one memory that was very special to Judge Titleman that I would like to share with you today, and you probably heard about how he loved to drive the golf cart. Well, that's Eddie Smith's story. But every June he would come to St. Joseph, to my firm, and for the annual barbecue and golf outing. Well, one year he decided he was going to come to St. Joseph and actually play miniature golf with a few of us. So we had Judge Rick, I had Grace Day, Jennifer Bacon, and me. So I'm the foursome, and as in the rule of golf, you have to have a witness. We played, and there were three witnesses as Judge Titleman perfectly executed a hole-in-one. Perfectly. It was so, I remember the look on his face. It was sheer joy, sheer surprise, sheer happiness. And it was so special. We took a picture, and of course then we sent it to him, and he talked forever and ever about that. But it was true, because three witnesses. And we all know about his talents and his skills, but we also know that his most intense passion was for the law. And by extension, the people, the institutions, and the traditions that make up the legal system of our state. His legacy to our system will forever be marked by his determination to make sure that justice was never denied to anyone, regardless of income or regardless of circumstances. As far as the Missouri Bar Foundation, he helped us in so many ways with wise counsel through the years, and we also honored him, the foundation. We had presented to him the Smithson Spurgeon Award of Excellence and the Purcell Professionalism Award, which are very special and well-deserved by Judge Titleman. We've been very helpful with his counsel. So today, it is time. I'm very honored to have the unveiling to the court, to the Supreme Court of Missouri, of the official portrait of Judge Titleman.
Thank you, Suzanne. On behalf of the Supreme Court, I express our appreciation to you and the Missouri Bar Foundation for this beautiful portrait of Judge Rick. I think your reaction indicates that you agree that it truly depicts his persona, his warmth, and his kindheartedness. And it's always a question as to where a portrait should hang. And we decided it was most appropriate that it hang right outside the door. He will be greeting us from now on. Thank you for being with us today as we celebrate Rick's life and his career. Everyone here is someone who was touched by his compassion, his generosity, and his friendship. So we thank you. You meant so much to him throughout his exceptional legal and judicial career and throughout his exceptional life. So we appreciate you being with us, and we invite you to join us and continue the celebration with punch and cookies outside in the hallway. So court is adjourned.